The Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is a friend, his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you all from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Good and gracious Lord, may the words from my lips and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you as we go about our day, today, this day, and always. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. As I began to answer my calling to ministry in the year 2005, I admit I found it difficult to know how to pray. Each step of the way, when faced with a difficult situation, I was terrified when I was asked to pray. What if I prayed for the wrong thing? What if God didn't answer my prayers? What if I was asked to pray for something I thought wouldn't be made true here on earth? I shared my fears with a beloved pastor, and he shared this with me. "It's not your job to judge whether the prayer is correct, or if the person you are praying for is asking for the right thing, or if God will answer their prayers the way we would like God to. It's your job to help facilitate God to them. Because when we pray, God sends us the Holy Spirit and helps us in all that we need." That was so freeing for me. It isn't up to me. It isn't up to you. Instead, when we pray, we invite God into our situation to create something good out of even the most impossible, complicated, dire, or painful situation. We admit our dependence on God to provide for us and our loved ones and to give us good things, even more so than a loving parent provides for their own child, trusting that God is gracious, loving, and merciful, and just through Christ crucified and risen, and that through the power of the Holy Spirit is with and for us for the upbuilding of our faith in the kingdom of God's justice and peace here on earth. Many of us had had moments where we did not pray for fear we did not know how to pray correctly or know whether or not we should dare to bother God with something so small or something so big, or did not know what to pray for when a loved one was suffering, because on one hand, we selfishly wanted them to be with us longer, But on the other hand, we did not want them to have to suffer anymore. Sometimes we freeze up when we are asked to pray in public or out loud with one another, because we are very private people often. And while we love God and our neighbor, although not perfectly, as we know, we don't tend to share our faith with others. Some have that gift and do so more than others, but many falter. Sometimes we fail to pray, as I have in the past, because we just don't want to. Life, or what we falsely believe life to be, is going so well for us. We would hate to pray and ask God to enter our situation, because then that would mean we would have to face the truth and change. And who wants that when things are going our way? Jesus teaches us that our way is not the kingdom way. When Jesus gets ready to do ministry, his disciples see him going out to the mountain to pray to God. They see this and they demand that he teach them how to pray, like John taught his disciples how to pray. Jesus teaches them what is known as the Lord's Prayer. We find a longer version of the Lord's Prayer in the Gospel of Matthew. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches his followers to ask for help, to keep God's name holy, to help bring about God's justice and peace on earth, that God's will and not our own will be done, to ask for and to trust God to provide for our sustenance each day, to help us be reconciled back to God and each other through the forgiveness of sins, and to save us from the time of trial at the end of times. Jesus is teaching them utter dependence and trust in God to provide for all that they need each day. When we begin and end our day in prayer, we invite God in to do what only God can accomplish. And as we confessed in our prayer of the day, God is more willing to hear our prayers than we are willing to pray. And yet, when we fail to pray, for whatever reason, we, baptized beloved children of God, can give thanks to God that we have the forgiveness of sin in Jesus Christ crucified and risen. A new chance to pray through his grace, trusting that our merciful and gracious God, whom we can depend on, trust, and pray to shamelessly for what we want and what we need, will never give up on us, but patiently waits for us to ask, seek, and knock, to give us his Holy Spirit, to fill us with faith, and help us get through anything in this life, and to take all the bad we have experienced and use it for good, for God's purpose, as St. Paul tells the Romans. We know that all things work together for good, for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Think about how God turned the unjust sufferings of Jesus Christ on the cross into good for the redemption and renewing of the world, to bring about God's justice and peace here on earth, and how we are part of that redemption, and how in baptism we are called to help bring about God's justice and peace here on earth. When we fail or falter, we can pray and ask for forgiveness, for help to begin again and do God's will with God's help, and to forgive others as God has forgiven us. We can trust that God will provide our daily bread and save us from the time of trial, because God is willing to hear our prayers and answer them with good things, because God loves us. We know this because Jesus models prayer for his followers. And yet even those who were close with him while he was here on earth still needed to be taught how to pray. So besides the Lord's Prayer, Jesus wants his followers to know that God wants us to pray shamelessly for what we want and need. He demonstrated this in the parable following the teaching of the Lord's Prayer. He said to them, Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, "Do not bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. This parable, though often translated on account of the word persistence, the Greek word anadeia is better translated on account of his shamelessness in asking for what he needs. God answers. God, who cares for us more than a loving parent, cares and provides for God's children and wants us to ask shamelessly, seek and knock for what we want and need for ourselves, our loved ones, and our neighbors. Though this parable seems rather foreign to us who live in a time of convenience and self-help, where we have 24-hour grocery stores, where we have online shopping, this parable was used by Jesus to explain that God wants to help us and others by being shameless in asking God for help. Jesus knew the law of hospitality the Jews were held to, and because he knew the honor and shame system that they lived in, he knew a person's name and reputation were at stake if a guest was in need and was not provided for. My aunt, who's from Korea, would provide an abundance of food for us when we came over, more than we could ever eat. It was something she learned from her culture. And her culture is an honor and shame culture as well. So we were doubly blessed because it was good food. So the person in the parable, knowing his reputation was at stake, prayed shamelessly for God to provide what he needed to be hospitable to his guests. So too, we are called to pray shamelessly to God for what we need and depend on, and for what our neighbor needs and depends on. Are we not called in our baptism to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves? But how little can we do that by our own power? Thanks be to God. God's grace is sufficient, and God is waiting for us to ask for help. May we be brave to do so. Amen.